Pull up a seat next to me. We're celebrating. We're in the local town hall of a tiny village in the middle of Transylvania. Overhead are stark fluoro lights, casting their neon glow on tables littered with half-filled glasses. Children are chasing each other, dashing around women carrying trays of food. Everyone loves a wedding. Even I'll admit that after a glass or two. Hi, I'm Miyuki Okiranta, and on Earshot, come meet two Roma gypsy sisters who are walking the complicated line between tradition and the modern world, with grace and fury. One of them is the bride at the centre of today's celebrations. She's a tender 14. Journalist Brietta Haig is also here. She's navigating her way through the crowd toward us.
It's December and it's freezing outside. But here inside the Veleni Town Hall, hundreds of people are celebrating the wedding of Pertti and Sharvi. They're a young couple from a prominent tribe of Roma gypsy called the Gabor. Like any wedding, there's dancing, copious amounts of alcohol, gifts, and of course there are tears from the bride. But at 14, Pertti's no ordinary bride. She's dressed in white and gold, and she cuts a delicate figure amongst the big men. At times she's joyous, dancing and laughing with her friends and family. In other moments, she's distracted and deeply upset.
Everybody was so bossy at my wedding, so I just feel like, okay, you do whatever you want, just being quiet.
When Pertti's hair is let out of its braid, everyone here at the wedding cheers. It's a gypsy ritual that symbolises the transition from maiden to wife.
It was quite an emotional moment because it's like leaving everything back and start something new, you know?
Becoming a woman.
Yeah.
Pertti has a brilliant mind. She's articulate, funny, and emotionally intelligent. And so is her sister Clara, who you'll meet a bit later. Talking to Pertti 8 months after the wedding, I find it easy to forget she's a teenager. A married teenager, pregnant with her first child.
It's a bit hard. Sometimes I'm getting panicked because I get pregnant only at 14. But I know that I have mom there and my dear sister.
Most Roma women are expected to marry very young, and they have to leave school to do it. This is the story of two unique sisters from a deeply traditional gypsy clan, who are self-educated and radically different from other Roma women. At the same time as breaking all the rules, they're managing to honour and uphold their traditions, and they're defining what it means to be a gypsy feminist.
I cannot accept that a man is higher than me because he's my husband. A husband means to be equal with me and to be my partner, right? So I just cannot accept that he's my boss. No, he's not my boss. I'm not working for him. He's my partner.
Transylvania is rich with history, folklore, and castles once haunted by Vlad the Impaler. It's also home to a vibrant population of Roma, who, in defiance of political correctness, call themselves gypsies. And so 8 months ago, how did I find myself in the middle of a big, fat gypsy wedding? Well, while I was travelling through the city of Sigisaara, I contacted Chuck Tataro. He's an American writer who collaborates with Siganea, a grassroots organisation working with Roma gypsy.
The three things that an outsider knows about Romania is Dracula, when it comes to Romania, Dracula, perhaps Ceausescu, but after that, gypsies. And actually, maybe the first one they know about is gypsies. And they don't really know that in a negative way, but it's actually has a very romanticized value too. But our goal is, in the future, is to bring people from outside Romania into Romania because of the gypsy program. And that's our goal, and we have done that. And that's really very satisfying.
Chuck's talking about bringing tourists into Roma gypsy communities, which is one of the things that Sigania does. But it's not supported by the Romanian government. Local tourist organisations are reluctant to send people to meet the gypsies.
Their first reaction is, you don't want to go there, or it's dangerous, or you can go here, you can pass through a community and look through the window and take pictures through a window.
Chuck was kind enough to invite me to Purdy's wedding. And 8 months later, I decided to return to Romania to find out more about the lives of these two remarkable sisters. I arrive at the family home of Clara and Purdy on a rainy Saturday and find it bustling with people and noise. Their mum's cutting up eggplant as hot oil spits in a frying pan. Everyone is chatting and fussing over Purdy. Purdy tells me she fell pregnant immediately after her wedding.
Of course it's hard. First of all, I was too young for that, and I really felt that. You know, my body wasn't prepared for something like this. But now I'm quite good, I can say that. And I had even an eating disorder. I cannot eat at all. Even now eating, it's kind of hard.
Because you had so much morning sickness.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long was the morning sickness?
5 months, but sometimes I was ending up crying in the bedroom.
And did you have other complications?
Yes, back pain and really, really big stomach pain.
Purdy's marriage to Charby, who's 16, isn't recognised under Romanian law, which prohibits marriage between minors. But the ceremonial marriage of teenagers is central to Gabor culture.
Usually people, like Romanian people and Hungarian people, think that it was my decision to get married at this young age. No, it wasn't. It was my parents' decision and I agreed. And they think that if we are getting married, we have to move out and to support ourselves and being for our own. No, it's not like that. Till we are not at certain age, like 22, 23, we are not moving out, we are staying with our parents. The example, I am married, I am pregnant, but my husband is still at school. He has to finish his school.
Purdy had to marry at such a young age because there's a risk for all young Roma women that they'll be kidnapped by other Roma families and forced into marriage. Essentially, her parents wanted to protect her virtue.
Because I was starting to grow really fast. And nobody believed that I'm only 11. Everybody thought that I'm around 14, 15, even 17. Somebody told me that I'm 17.
Purdy's seen her older sister Clara go through a complicated journey with marriage and children. Clara's been a big influence on Purdy.
Well, my sister, she's considered the black sheep of the family. And she's always the bad one. She's always the one who's doing, let's say, how they would say, not normal things. But we already see things different.
So how many lessons of driving do you have to do?
Clara's 26 and she's been married and divorced twice. She's passionate and funny, and the first time I meet her, she immediately wants to take me for a drive in the rain. It's not long before we find ourselves stuck behind a flock of sheep. It happens a lot in rural Transylvania.
The first time the instructor took me on a road where I was always afraid, so I was avoiding that road even with the bus. So he took me driving there because you know, on that road you have curves and you have hills and you have valleys and everything. So I got into a group of cows and I was so panicked, what am I supposed to do now, that I stopped the car and I said I cannot go further. I was very panicked. And behind me the other cars were like just honking, like move on and move on. And I just started to yell, you know, I put my head out of the window and I said, like, come on, be patient, this is the first time that I'm driving, so wait a bit. But it was good, that was the only incident that I had.
I sometimes feel, you know,
when I get into a group of men and they see me driving, it's like a very uncomfortable and not pleasant feeling. But, you know, I just go straight ahead and I'm trying to prove them that, you know, I don't care and we can do it, you know, women can do it as well. But I know what are my obligations, and, you know, with that I'm not offending anybody. I'm not changing my clothes. I'm not doing anything that would disrespect other people around me. So, you know, they don't know me. They have nothing to deal with me, so they don't have a right to judge me about it.
Clara is practicing for her driver's license. It might seem like an ordinary rite of passage, but no woman from her Gabor clan has ever got their license. If she's successful in passing her driver's test, she'll be the first woman to drive in her community.
You have a really strong mind and you're very strong-willed. Where do you think that comes from?
I don't know. I'm like this since I was a child in kindergarten. I just wanted to be free and, you know, I wanted to do things that are normal for everybody, and gypsy women were not allowed to do those things, like driving, smoking. Of course, I don't smoke because I don't think that smoking is a good thing, but, you know, I just wanted to have that independency, that freedom that everybody had. So I think that's why, you know, and I was seeing the movies. Sometimes I was seeing these office movies, like, and the women were entering and she was talking and all the men had to listen to her, you know, and I said, like, I want to be like that. Why I cannot be like that, you know?
Like Purdy, Clara left school when she was very young.
I went in school till I was 14. But my English comes from TV, actually. I really had to struggle to go to school because my parents wanted to pull me back from school.
Why did they want to pull you out of school?
Because they saw that school starts to have a big influence on me.
Clara didn't want to get married, but she had no choice.
How old were you when you got married?
I was 16.
You're divorced?
Yeah.
Tell me about how your divorce was received by the community.
With my first marriage, it was kind of a big deal because I had my dowry and I had a child. And still at that time, you know, divorce, I was gossiped by many people in the area. And I had a very difficult time. But with my second marriage, it was a very normal thing to divorce, you know, and it was actually a wanted thing. Like, everybody wanted me to divorce that guy.
Why did your marriage fail? Why did you divorce your first husband?
Because in their family, women had no right to their lives, actually. So they just had to follow their husband blindly, and they had no right on anything. They were not allowing me to have friends. They were not allowing me to go out sometimes. You know, I just, not going out at night, you know, but if I wanted to go out for shopping or just to take my son and go to a park or go to somebody at home, or they were always arguing with me about it. So I was really feel that I'm closed in a box, that I just have to get out from there.
Would you say that you're the rebel in the family?
Yes, I'm the black sheep, not the rebel. I'm the black sheep.
Has that been hard for you?
No, it's fun. It's fun because, you know, I just do things on my way and I don't care, you know, even though I'm stigmatized because of this.
Would you call yourself a feminist?
Yes, yes. And when it comes about women's rights, you know, I become very sexist, not only feminist, you know, I'm against men.
But the sisters' feminism still has to be negotiated around the rules of the gypsy caste system. They say they don't want their own daughters to marry at a very young age, but they still want them to marry within their caste. This is Purdy.
We kind of still try to keep the caste system. So I will tell the example of my daughter. Look, you can look for boys, but try to keep it in our caste and try to don't go lower or higher, because this is where you have to be and this is where you belong. I would like that she will decide who will she marry.
Why is it important to keep it in the caste?
Because it goes like this since a really long time, and you know, it's kind of keeping up with your family and your name.
For Clara, it's a little different. She acknowledges that life is easier for gypsies who marry within their caste.
Can you be a feminist but still only really believe that it's right to marry within your caste?
I believe that it's right only to marry in the gypsy community. Here still the Hungarian community and the Romanian community, they are very conservative. So as for us, for them as well, it's a shame to marry with somebody who's not from their ethnic group. So for a Romanian, it's a shame to get married with the Hungarian as well, you know, exactly like for us, it's a shame to get married with the Romanian or Hungarian. I'd say if I would find somebody that I think that I could have a great life together with, I would bring shame on my family with that fact, but I wouldn't care actually, you know, because for me, my life and my children's life and their future would be more important than that.
The caste system that they have here in Romania was born from slavery. Chuck Todaro explains.
Okay, so the caste system is really three parts, and it all evolved from the slavery trade, because the gypsies here in Romania were slaves, and they were put into three locations, three categories. And the first category was the state-owned, second category was the privately owned, and the third category was the church-owned, the monastery-owned. And each one had a different master and a different trade and different rules and regulations.
But the caste divisions also come out of the gypsies' origins in northern India. They migrated here 1,400 years ago. You can really see those Indian roots in the traditional dress, and you can hear it in their words. The gypsy language is peppered with Sanskrit.
Is Benny the son of the family we're visiting?
Yes. The Gabor gypsies are high caste, similar to the Brahmins. Most of them are settled, they live in houses and are pretty middle class, which surprises a lot of foreigners.
It's his job to ride, to use the horse and cart, or he has many jobs?
For years, Clara's family has earned extra income by inviting tourists to experience their way of life.
Actually, the first time when we had visitors, it was a French group. Those people thought that they're gonna go somewhere in the field, you know, where the tent's gonna be and fire outside and horses. So they were very surprised that they came to a normal family or normal house.
Did they expect you to have a crystal ball?
Sometimes they're disappointed that, oh, we thought that you're gonna do some palm reading for us. Actually, palm reading was, and witchcrafting, it was a good way of making money, you know, fooling people. But gypsies don't have special powers, actually. It's just, you know, they know how to manipulate people, and they know how to read people easy, and it's an easy way to make money out of it.
But it's not all about quaint crystal balls and caravans. For hundreds of years, Western Europeans have seen gypsies as thieves, witches, and troublemakers, which has tainted the word gypsy. Today, it's more politically correct to use the word Roma. There's a lot of discrimination levelled at the poorer, lower caste tribes, like the Kashtalo. They live in isolated villages, and they're seen as outcasts by Romanians and other gypsies, but not by Christian missionaries.
It's a lot of mystery about who they are and where they came from. There's a lot. They're very interesting. They're the least studied, the most, ignored, actually kind of not even considered gypsy in a way. But they're actually the most interesting in many ways, because, I guess, maybe because of that. But we don't know who they are. You know, they're actually a mix. There's kind of Tatars in that group, and there was also Romanians mixed in that group. They had a very settled existence, and they were kind of blended. And But it was very clear to me, even though there's no documentation about it, but it was very clear to me that what the church did was it ripped out, or I say exorcised, the gypsy in them. So, for example, the gypsy language, the gypsy culture was removed.
Chuck takes me to visit a Kastrelo village outside the city of Brasov. There's limited electricity, no running water, and no internet. Life for the women of the lower castes is very different from the Gabors. I meet 19-year-old Bianca and her mum. They're preparing bread over an open fire.
Oh, it smells good.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
The Kastrelo don't identify as gypsies, but the young teenagers of the clan are still married off and have children at a very young age.
How old is her son?
I suppose, no? Katana copia is there.
Do young.
2 years, 2 years.
Your other child?
9 months.
How old were you when you got married?
Katana was maritat, maritat. Katana was gonna maritat. 15.
When did you finish school?
Class, yeah, for good age.
Patron.
Four grades.
Explain to me what the women do here.
Femei ce faci aici?
Ce mai faci acolo? Aici ce să fac? Dă mâncare, după apă, curățenie.
We clean the house.
Am grijă de copii.
Take care of the kids.
It's hard to imagine Bianca will ever be able to further her education. But slowly the community is opening up to new influences and finding ways to make money.
I work.
Sigania organises for tourists to visit them, to learn from the Kastrelo.
So this is your machine?
Yeah.
Back in Sigisaara, Clara loves to share her culture with foreigners, especially when it comes to gypsy fashion.
I just have to finish this one.
I join her in a small studio where she's using a sturdy old sewing machine to make colourful dresses and skirts that she sells to other gypsies.
So what are you working on here?
I'm putting the lace on the apron, on the tip.
And you have, I see sometimes there's designer label symbols that are printed into the dresses. Do people like to show that they can wear labels or incorporate labels like Louis Vuitton into their clothes?
Yeah. And, you know, if you have a wedding or a funeral, you must have the latest trend on you.
The latest designer that's in vogue.
Or the most expensive dress. We try to be as elegant as possible, even though some people may think that, you know, you cannot be really elegant with the gypsy clothes. That's not true. We pay a lot of attention to lace, to very sophisticated materials, and a lot of rhinestones and stuff like that.
This clothing business, is it run online? Is there an aspect of it online?
Yes, I have my page on Facebook. It's not going as good as I wanted, but I'm trying to set up my account on eBay. But it's just such a long process, and with my PayPal I have some problem. But I hope that in a couple of weeks I'm gonna resolve that problem too.
The girls really rely on the internet as a way to learn. Purdy's hoping to continue her education once the baby's born using online tutorials.
Can you see yourself studying in the future?
Yes, maybe, but not at school. Maybe have some German classes at home.
Why German?
Well, I really love studying languages and learning new languages, and German, it's quite a useful language, I can say that.
How many languages do you speak?
I speak only four.
Only four?
Well, for me it's normal because I'm speaking Gypsy in the house with my family, then Hungarian with the locals, and Romanian, and English. And English is something that I didn't really struggle with because I kind of grew up with. I remember myself correcting my language, my English language, a lot from YouTube. From music, lyrics, right?
Lyrics?
And from movies.
The girls' parents don't use the internet. They really have no idea about what their girls get up to online. As it comes time for me to leave Transylvania, I want to know about the generation gap between the girls and their very traditional parents.
because
we don't.
They don't use social medias, they don't know how can change us, how can they change us.
Or
but
that
we know.
Or that it can be used them. For good ways, like I promote my business, you know. So many gypsy women found out about me that I'm doing dresses through Facebook.
And I accept the fact that they want to keep the traditions, like make the traditions keep going, but with social media, as we are getting more modern and we kind of became more
it's
open-minded.
Part of our life, you know. We find out things. We keep in touch with world by through social media, so.
And it's creating more of a divide between your dad and you guys, because there are things that you understand about the world by being able to read English that he can't understand.
Yes.
He can't even understand how you can speak English.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, you guys are advancing beyond your parents.
And in a few years, our kids will think us stupid too, so.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Their strong connection to the modern world has really strengthened their bond as sisters. Purdy's come to admire Clara's rebellion.
Yes, because she proved to my family that she can do a lot of things by her own. And I would like to do the same. And even if a few years ago I said that I don't want to become like her, and
she
to get in
like
her situation, but slowly I'm becoming like her without my trying.
So she is becoming your clone, Clara.
Yeah.
Are you happy about that?
But I'm sure that she's gonna avoid the unpleasant situations that I've been through. For sure, she's not gonna be in those problems, but she's gonna be just like me, for sure.
Imagine why, because she's not just a sister, she's a best friend. And anything happens, she's the first who knows about me. She was the first one who found out that I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And she's giving me first advices and I'm listening to her.
Although Purdy doesn't yet know the gender of her baby, she's convinced it'll be a girl.
My daughter, she won't get married this young. Less me, that's for sure. And she will be a really modern girl, you know.
So you want things to change for the women in your community?
Yes, of course.
So it pays to be a rebel?
Yes.
And you see that yourself?
Yeah.
And Purdy was right. 4 weeks after I leave Romania, I get word she's given birth to a healthy baby girl. And Clara has passed her driving test. She did it wearing full traditional gypsy dress. A new generation of Gabor women has arrived.
A gorgeous testament to wearing your traditions proudly and walking tall in the 21st century. Rebel Roma was produced by Brietta Hay. The sound engineer was Judy Rapley, and the supervising producer was Claudia Taranto. I'm Miyuki Okiranta. Join me again next week on Earshot for another sideways glance at modern life.